Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 18th of July, 2022. I'm joined by Carl.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about mass immigration was a deliberate attack on Britain, a possible end to Blairism, and also Reddit banning the word groomer because it hurt them too much, personally. But anyway, without further ado, I suppose we shall begin.
So the Conservatives are a Blairite party, and this has been confessed by David Cameron. They are what the Labour Party have made of them. Tony Blair has, since his tenure began in 1997, has sculpted this country into his vision of the future. And the Conservatives are just so trapped within this paradigm, it seems that Peter Hitchens is right and the Conservative Party must be destroyed. But before we begin, let's talk about how there's nothing new under the sun. How this is, yet again, an iteration, an echo of the past, if you will. There was another chap in English history who had a problem with immigrants. Mass immigration. Uncontrolled immigration.
From the east.
from the continent. People just coming along in boats, rocking up on the shores, and taking our money. And that man's name was Ethelred the Unready. And this is very, very similar, in fact, in some ways, to what is happening now. Now, he had the same problem with the Danes, rather than a collection of foreigners from further around the world. But the point of this episode of Epochs is don't adopt Ethelred's solutions because they're bad. His solution was paying them to go away and then trying to kill some of them as well. Neither of these solutions worked, of course. Other solutions should be found. Anyway,
such if you like... strong border controls.
Such a strong border controls, which is incidentally the thing he didn't do. But anyway, if you want to support us, go and sign up and watch that because it's good stuff. So let's begin in 2009, when we learned that the Labour government of about 2000 onwards had specifically opened Britain's borders in order to make the UK more multicultural, as in this was a deliberate attempt at social engineering of the United Kingdom, and this was, quote, to rub the right's nose in diversity, according to Andrew Nether, a former advisor to Tony Blair, Jack Straw and David Blunkett, three key members of the Labour cabinet, and of course Tony Blair being the Prime Minister. He said, Labour's relaxation of controls was a deliberate plan to open up the UK to mass immigration, but ministers were nervous and reluctant to discuss such a move publicly for fear it would alienate its core working class vote. Isn't that just grim? Isn't that evil? So we're going to open up this country and absolutely ruin it, bring in millions of foreigners. I know the working class aren't going to like it, so we're just going to hide that from them. We're just not going to talk about it. Until it's too late. He said, Labour's relaxation of controls, I've read that actually, as a result, the public argument for immigration concentrated instead on the economic benefits and the need for more migrants. And now this was written in 2009. Little did they know that the argument would really be, but think of the restaurants.
Look, okay, we know it doesn't bring in money like people say it does. It's a huge drain.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Makes demand for everything so unreasonably high constantly that we could never solve any problems, but my coffee at Pret.
Yes. Critics said the revelations show a conspiracy within the government to impose mass immigration for cynical reasons. Cynical is deeply understating it. It's openly malevolent.
What was with the conspiracy aspect? It's like, oh, maybe this happened. I mean, they literally say privately they didn't tell the public.
Yeah.
Because they knew they would hate it.
I mean, it was literally a conspiracy. And it wasn't cynical, it was malevolence. So, writing the Evening Standard, Nether said that the major shift in immigration policy came after the publication of a policy paper from the Performance and Innovation Unit in Downing Street in 2001. Earlier drafts I saw included a driving political purpose, that mass immigration was a way that the government was going to make the UK truly multicultural. I remember coming away from some discussions with a clear sense that the policy was intended, even if this wasn't its main purpose, to rub the right's nose in diversity and render their arguments out of date. So this was about winning the political argument against the Conservatives. Socially engineering this country.
And how so? I mean, to drastically change the makeup of the United Kingdom, so then any appeals to cultural norms or traditions of the Anglo-Saxons became, as he puts it, out of date.
Yep. The deliberate policy from late 2000 until February 2009 was when the points-based system was introduced, because of the catastrophe, was to open up the UK to mass migration. Some 2.3 million migrants were added to the population since then, according to Whitehall estimates. It's 15 million now. 15 million, at least. Now?
One in four.
Nether said that bringing in hundreds of thousands more migrants to plug labour market gaps was also a driving political purpose behind the immigration policy. So GDP is also tacked on the end there. GDP, bro.
No one ever looks at the GDP per capita.
That's not important.
Is anyone actually getting richer? No, but the gross number is bigger.
Is anyone having an easier time buying a house?
No.
No, of course not. But he said he defended this policy, saying it's enriched Britain. Feeling the cultural enrichment, Callum. It's made London a more attractive and cosmopolitan place. This was only 13 years ago. 13 years ago, he wrote this article. It's not even a very long time.
It's just now it's an international embarrassment of a city that nobody in this country wants to move to if they can help it.
Stabbing capital of Europe.
I mean, literally, the people who live there, who are, you know, the English, endlessly moving out.
Yeah, so from this, we know that mass immigration was viewed as a political attack on the Conservative Party, and the Conservative Party were viewed as a kind of psychic extension of the sort of native British people, right? That's how the Labour Party were looking at this.
Yeah, as an old party for an old country.
Yes, that's exactly right. And that's an interesting way of framing it, which put a pin in that. We'll come back to that. And so they thought they would sacrifice the interests of the working class of this country to try and conquer the Conservatives. This is entirely a political social engineering scheme by Blair and his goons. And it's success of this is really quite phenomenal, because you get this sort of piece from David Cameron. Now, David Cameron, Prime Minister in 2010, in the coalition with the Liberal Democrats, and he is just a creature of Blair. And this came out 2 days ago. He published this 2 days ago. So there's no understanding, no comprehension of how he has been captured by Tony Blair and the Labour Party. He, in fact, thinks it's good to virtue signal and genuflect to the left about diversity. He wrote this in The Times. David Cameron: we were all white men, so I did something about diversity. It's amazing how a former Conservative Prime Minister would think this is a good look. Like, how could he think this is what the British public were complaining about? Oh, you know what? Yeah, too many white men in politics.
Then resign.
Yeah, well, A, resign, but B, nobody cares. The only people who care about that are the Labour Party.
Oh.
That was their deliberate attack, as they had already told us. So it's not like David Cameron can't have access to this information either. But he says this, right? Watching the Conservative Party leadership contest takes me back to the contest I fought and won in 2005. I was one of seven MPs taking a part. All of us were white and all of us were male. It was no surprise the field was so narrow. We reflected a party whose 198 MPs included just 17 women and only two from ethnic minorities. We're the oldest political party in the world and we looked like it. Now, there we go. That's what you're saying. It's like an old party for an old country. Yeah. And David Cameron being like, well, that's not very modern progressive, is it? I'm progressive.
Then why are you in the Conservative Party?
Yes.
Why are you manhandling and destroying the party that should be representative of the actual people who live here?
And not just that, the ancient continuation of this country, because that's the point. In Britain, especially in England, being old is something you take pride in. You know, this is an ancient church, this is an ancient town. You know, these things, the length of continuity is something we're proud of. And so David Cameron being like, yeah, but actually, what if we become leftists and try and arrive at year zero?
What if I take this party and just rip out its spine? So now it's somewhere that, you know, the academic agent couldn't even feel comfortable being around.
Yes. Right. I ran on a platform of change to win and was determined to modernise the party.
Modernise. Hate that term.
Yeah, me too. Modernity seems to be... I can't swear.
Just always seems to be progressive. That's all that word means to these people.
Yes, but that's exactly what modernise means. And so he started by addressing the appalling lack of diversity of Conservative candidates and MPs. It's appalling, Callum. Appalling. To me, this agenda was never about political correctness. It was about political effectiveness. Oh, amazing. But what, right, so this is a great statement. It's not about political correctness. That's presupposed, right? I'm not going to challenge that value. Now it's about political effectiveness. How can I convert political correctness into votes for the Conservatives? So, okay, so you were literally going to allow the Labour Party to be the value-setting organ of your political career.
The correct politics is leftist identitarianism.
Yep.
In which case, how do we win that framework?
Yes, how do I win that competition, says David Cameron, someone who can't think for himself whatsoever. And so he said, during my first week in the job, I made a speech explaining that it wasn't enough to open the door and say, come on in, when all these people would see is a sea of white male faces. We need to get out there and bring people in. So I immediately froze the selection of Conservative candidates. I said that from our broader candidates list, we would draw up a priority list, of which half would be female and a large proportion would be from black and ethnic minority backgrounds.
Like, I feel like I'm listening to someone from Harvard's admissions board, you know, one of these loopy, blue-haired weirdos, telling me about how there's just not enough of XY group.
Yeah.
Instead, leader of the Conservative Party at one point.
Yeah. You know how the Labour Party want us to do everything? We can do it exactly that way. So, like, Tony Blair...
I don't want the best person for the job.
Tony Blair couldn't have... Like, if he was giving you direct instruction on how to do it, it would be exactly like this.
Joe Biden attitude, I want the blackest and the womanist.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. It's the spirit of Blair has just conquered the Conservatives here. Associations and winnable seats would have to choose from this A-list. So, I mean, literally diversity list. And they would be encouraged to select candidates through open primaries that were open to non-party members. Many on the right found this hard to swallow. It's like, yeah.
Why won't they just accept left-wing ideology?
Yeah, many on the right were like, do we have to become leftists? And David Cameron's like, yeah.
Conservatives. How else would we be right-wingers? Idiot.
Yeah, exactly. Conservatives have an aversion to positive discrimination. We believe... I love the way he speaks. It's not we have an aversion to positive discrimination. Well, those conservatives.
I'm not part of that camp, really.
Yeah. Like, weird foreigners over there. We believe in... Oh, he does say we here, actually. We believe in people rising to the top through their own merits. The trouble is, this just wasn't happening organically. I love... The progress isn't fast enough. We need to aid progress, says the Conservative Prime Minister.
It's not progress if you have to make it artificially.
Exactly. Anyway, he says the number of Conservative female MPs had barely improved since the 1930s. At some elections, it had gone backwards. Oh, no. We're not going forwards. We're going backwards. Oh, no, not the Conservatives looking to a better time, thinking we're going backwards. That sounds terrible.
But then also in the words in there meaning that being white and being male is going backwards.
Yes.
Having those around is not good.
My Great, pitch, therefore, not for positive discrimination, but it was for positive action.
So just politicians speak?
Yeah,
same thing.
Exactly. And again, that's the sort of thing Tony Blair would say. The party of meritocracy needed to accelerate meritocracy. And meritocracy means brown people. Says David Cameron.
A truly meritocratic system is when you are just a woman or brown, and if you're not, leave.
Yes. You don't want any white faces looking at you. We told associations that they could pick their candidates from the full list, but stipulated that half of the interviews had to be women. We headhunted great candidates from ethnic minorities and pushed them forward. Our approach was, whatever it takes, we will become the Labour Party, whatever it takes. No matter what illegal discrimination we have to engage in, we will do this.
How many white men I have to put out.
Exactly. How many white men have to be ejected from the party? You know,
by any means necessary.
I mean, literally, like the most radical position. By 2010, we had nearly quadrupled our number of female MPs, and in 2015 had six times as many ethnic minority MPs. And look at the state of you now. Look at the state of these debates. Everyone, and I've seen like people from like Pete Hitchens to Owen Jones saying, wow, the current slate of Conservative Party MPs across the board, with one exception, are idiots. Really low quality idiots. And we'll talk about the exception in a minute. So anyway, the point is, affirmative action made the Conservative Party deeply, deeply mediocre. It made it a Blairite party, and it made it just an untenable proposition for anyone who cares about this country. And so Pete Hitchens is right about the Blairite party. Mm-hmm. I love this. And because obviously the leadership election's going around, everyone's like, so Peter, how do you feel about it? And he says, to anyone who asks me who my favourite candidate for Tory leadership, I answer, what is your favourite disease? No. <It's like, great. laughs> He's right.
Stand it there, that's the tweet.
Nothing can redeem the Tory party, Blairite, without even knowing it unless and until it dissolves itself. And he's so totally on the money here. What is your favourite disease? That's so good. But he's exactly right. And so,
look, if they're still Blairites, then what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. What is the point? And so just to summarise like what they've done, well, we know that last year they decided to bring in 1 million migrants. Tony Blair never did this. Tony Blair never brought in 1 million new visitors.
In fact, Tony Blair these days would have been saying, steady on.
Yes, because, Tony Blair was like, look, that's really going to hurt your electoral prospects. Because Tony Blair was actually good at politics, unfortunately. And there's no end in sight to this, by the way. Migration Watch have done an article about the government's latest projections. It's like the government is projecting another 4 to 5 million net migrants are set to come and remain in the UK by 2041. So by 2041, so in 20 years, they're expecting it to be...
Okay, so I can own a house by 2051, maybe?
No, of course you can't.
Right.
But again, this, I think this is very low as a projection. But they're expecting 12 million people to come and 7 million to leave. So at least there's a fair amount of remigration there. But meanwhile, the natural UK population change is projected to be minus over 1 million in the same period. And so they expect to have a massive increase. And the only increase is by immigration.
I mean, I also love, just for a minute, because you remember how these endless arguments were given in which, oh, looking at the projections, Westerners aren't having enough kids. So what we'll do is we'll import people from around the world and that'll just solve it. And this is obviously stupid on many bases. But it's not just to replace that derelict, 1 million that aren't being born,
yep,
should have been. Instead, it's another 15 million on top of that.
I mean, the house prices should be going down.
Yeah.
Anyway, when the left see the Conservative Party and their leadership election and what they're doing, they recognise it as a form of replacement. For example, someone like Nesrin Malik, the anti-free speech crusader. Yeah,
just an honest leftist, usually.
That's all right. An honest leftist. There are Tories of diverse origins and skin tones. What they need now is real difference. Right, okay, brilliant. That's great. Because what that means is that diversity means nothing. Diverse origins and skin tones means nothing. That changed nothing. All of those white faces, Cameron's like, oh God, I'm worried about the white. They don't care. They don't care.
Why would they?
Exactly. Why would they? This meant nothing to them. Right, we are witnessing the most racially diverse leadership for a major party in British political history. Yeah, well, that's a big dunk on the Labour Party, isn't it? Candidates over the course, blah, 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 talking about all of the candidates. If similar exercise would take place in the Labour Party today, it's highly unlikely there'd be anywhere close to that many ethnic minority MPs in the running, and certainly none with a realistic chance of winning. Does this look and sound like a good thing? Well, it depends. It's also worth asking, a good thing for whom? Now, that's very interesting, isn't it? That the Labour Party is not the party of Blair at this point. The Labour Party.
Far beyond that.
No. The Labour Party are not the diverse party that the Conservatives are. Blair's legacy lives in the Conservative Party. It doesn't live in Labour. Corbyn's legacy lives in Labour.
I mean, it's definitely a mixture of Kimberly Crenshaw and Corbyn, for sure, from what I watch from the
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying it's good.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, it's not...
Actual traditional Blairism, but yeah.
Yeah, and it's not Blairism. It's not like a diverse party... as they would be, they would have it. So again, Cameron hasn't even got Nesrin Malik's approval here because she's like, well, you've taken the thing that is a white structure, which is the Conservative Party, and just replaced the white people with non-white people, but it's still the thing I hated.
It's still Anglo-Saxon.
Yes. It's certainly a good thing for the Conservatives, who can use the diversity of leadership shortlist to score a point against the left. It's like, yeah, a worthless point. Christ. This is not to imply there's no place for people of colour on the right. People of colour belong wherever they feel they belong, which is very, very open-minded for a leftist. Normally she'd be like those Uncle Toms. But she says this. There has to be a point...
Said worse than that.
Oh, yeah, she said a lot worse. There has to be a point to diversity, you see. That's why so many people of colour bang on about it. In government, its purpose should be to expand and enhance perspective so that policymaking is more compassionate, more observant of the plight of marginalised people who are never represented in places that impact their lives the most. Real diversity should disrupt the status quo. The phony version we have ended up with is concerned about changing the appearance of Britain, but not its fundamental nature or the way its resources are shared. There we go. She is saying, look, it is just a replacement that has happened. It has not been the revolution to bring about communism that Tony Blair was promising. Yes, exactly. And you get people like Kehinde Andrews, of getting the next one, who's just saying, look, this conservative leadership is just, a replacement, a front for white supremacy. Kehinde Andrews says, it is the most diverse government in history, but also has the most racist policies of any government. Like, really, Kehinde? I mean, I think maybe the 19th century, they may have had some slightly more racist policies.
Did they? I mean, not in the UK. I'm thinking Nazi Germany or apartheid South Africa. And Kehinde's like, that's steady on compared to now.
That's a good point. I thought he had said any UK government, but no, you're right. Any government.
Any government. So you've got a Nazi Germany, which is liberal.
Antebellum South or something. Like, you know.
But have you seen the Rwanda plan? It's basically worse than the Holocaust.
It's worse than the slave trade. I mean, what are you talking about? He argues that black and Asian conservative ministers are essentially fronts for white oppression and that they are able to introduce policies that white leaders would not be able to get away with. Again, he thinks of them as a replacement for white people to carry out the agenda of oppression.
Sure, but also that's a very revealing statement in which says there could be perfectly reasonable policies that when someone who's brown says them, we all agree with them, but when someone who white says them, all of a sudden the media drags their name through the dirt and they are discriminated against for being white, but they're suggesting a reasonable stance.
Which is why Steve Baker bent the knee to Suella Braverman, because she's a brown woman and he's a white man. And they were saying exactly the same things, but he was born wrong.
So who's got the privilege in this country? I mean, Kehinde Andrews is directly saying,
"Yep,
it's people with brown skin."
Yes, that is exactly what he's saying. Notice the language of replacement, though. He's saying, well, look, they've just replaced the white people and they're doing evil things because I'm a communist. It's like, okay, well, you can keep saying it. And the point about Labour being basically an ethno party, I think, is very well made by the left wings who are complaining about this. You can get to the next one, John. You just scroll down and see the list of people. Scroll down a bit. You can see the list of candidates on here somewhere. There we go, right. So you've got Rebecca Long-Bailey, Lisa Nandy, Keir Starmer, who are the final three. But then if you go down to the ones who are eliminated, it's Emily Thornberry and Clive Lewis and Jess Phillips, right? They're all English, apart from two of them who are half English. So I would count them as English.
Based on their parents.
Based on their inheritance, the heritage. That's a very nativist party. So Tony Blair's spirit is not alive in the Labour Party.
Well, I mean, the ideology is still there in some respect, because Emily Thornberry being the funniest one.
I think it's way past Blairism.
It's on another level of they're fully into wokeism. Yeah. I just love it. You got Emily Thornberry on that list, and there's no ridiculousness of being like, oh, they're Anglo-Saxon, therefore they're white, therefore, as the white nationalist might say, because you end up with Emily Thornberry, who is most known in this country for tweeting out a picture of a white van and an England flag and going, ugh.
Yes, I'm not saying they're a based patriotic party or anything that, but the essential thing that they are is the party of the English people. Weirdly enough, like they're actually
not ideologically, but just the makeup.
Ideologically, like the actual essential makeup of them, which is just mad. The point is, finally, the conservative leadership debates have been generally disappointing, and I'm not surprised that they're starting to cancel them now, because they're not exactly covering the conservatives in glory. The only person who's coming out of this looking good is Kemi Badenoch, because she seems to be the only half decent candidate. But immigration is just not put on the table. Liz Truss will say things like, oh no, we've got problems with housing. It's like, okay, well, why? Why do we have problems with housing? Never mentioned it.
Something happened.
Yeah, something happened. There's a mysterious excess of people needing houses. I mean, we must be destroying houses at a remarkable rate, because that's what we love doing in England, just destroying things. She said that she would amend the levelling up bill to replace centralised targets with tax cuts and reduce red tape on opportunity zones to make it quicker and easier for developers to build on brownfield land in those areas. Yeah, sure, just keep building, just keep concreting. Eventually the entire country will be concreted over. It'll be brilliant. Anyway, I hate the Conservative Party so much.
That's a great way to end.
I really do. Blair won, you know, Blair won.
Well, speaking of that, I can maybe give a white pill, which is a possible end to Blairism. I'm saying a possible, it's a very slight chance, but I thought we'd have a look and see one aspect that may be good. So we'll start off, of course, just by mentioning Constantine Kissin's new book club that we did on Constantine Kissin's book, An Immigrant's Love Letter to the West, because he mentions in here, of course, a lot of the problems he sees in the West directly caused by Blairism. Mm. I mean, the most egregious one, in which he says that there were more immigrants came to the UK in 10 years than the last, what was it, like 400?
Oh, no, it's the last thousand. Since 1066 to Blair, more immigrants, I mean, way more have come. But anyway, the point being, Constantine's like, well, I'm against mass immigration. And they're like, but you're an immigrant. It's like, so?
It's a bad idea. I kind of want England to immigrate too.
Yeah.
Seems to make sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, if we go to the next one here, this is what I want to talk about, which is just, I saw a lot of news about Kemi Badenoch and her campaign, because she's the only one that I found particularly interesting, as in someone who thinks for herself, is coming up with ideas that are not just, I will be politician.
And it's saying things that are in the interests of British people.
Yes, you know,
that's the thing.
And there's just some news on this. So the first one here that I want to demonstrate is Guido just reporting double digits poll lead for her with Conservative Home voters. So she did something with Conservative Home, and they did polling of the actual people instead of just MPs, of course, in the party. And she just smashed them on that
one. I saw some other polling where she was doing really well. And I wonder how much of this is why they've decided, actually, we're going to stop these debates because Kemi's ruining us.
It doesn't look good. Yeah. If you go to the next one, you've got Lord Ashcroft, who decided to do a Twitter poll as well, which, 73,000 votes. Went well. A guy, if you don't know, was very followed by much of the party. So, again, revealing. Yes. And if you go to the next one, I thought I'd just play a clip of just her speaking to make the point about how she's been campaigning. And everything in here I just find refreshing, to say the least.
Right.
But this is just a short, normal speech.
The right has lost its confidence and courage. Our ability to defend the free market as the fairest way of helping people prosper has been undermined. It's been undermined by retreating in the face of the Ben and Jerry's tendency, those who say a business's main priority is social justice, not productivity and profit, as we've pandered to pressure groups and caved in to every campaigner with a moving message. And that has made the government agenda into a shopping list of disconnected, unworkable, and unsustainable policies. Our democratic nation state is the best way for people to live in harmony and enjoy prosperity has been overridden by the noisy demands of those who want to delegitimize, decolonize, and denigrate. And if we don't stand up for our shared institutions, for free speech, due process, and the rule of law, then we end up with a zero-sum game of identity politics, which only increases divisions when we need to come together.
So just hitting on some numbers there, I mean, calling out the Ben and Jerry's side of capitalism, in which you just endlessly virtue signal about how migrants should be allowed to come to Britain because I sell ice cream.
Yeah, not interested in Ben and Jerry's opinion.
No.
Welcome our new Nigerian overlords.
Certainly do. And also hitting on the idea that, of course, we should be stuck in this intersectional paradigm for the rest of our lives until, you know, the heat death of the universe. Mm. Like, no, this has to end. And quite frankly, there's at least one way out of this, which is to just bury it, to say the least. And the thing I noticed with her campaign as well is she's making these speeches. That's just one I just happened to pick because I thought it was something she did recently. But she's made a number of others that we've all seen, the critical race theory one and so forth.
Where she destroyed Kimberly Crenshaw.
Yeah, and then I've noticed that all of the people in this sphere are all backing up on her, as in all of the activists and so forth, who I would say are on our side, to say the least, our guys. As you can see here, Toby Young, Free Speech Union. I can't remember if he's chairman or whatever, but Toby being an obviously great guy, like endlessly defending the actual rights of the people in this country. The fact that he has to run a Free Speech Union is a whole other conversation.
Go and join the Free Speech Union, by the way, folks.
Yeah, him pointing out here that he's backing her, and also he writes here, four out of five Telegraph columnists make Kemi the winner of tonight's debate, being the last debate that they did.
Yep.
And if you go to the next one, David Starkey just came out and endorsed her fully as well. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit long, but he gave a big old great reason as to why, which he just pointed out, look, the reason we're in such a mess right now is because of lockdowns. Mm-hmm. And the reason the government ran into that is completely intelligible, given that the media and the opposition, everyone was calling for it. However, now that needs to be completely destroyed. That paradigm needs to be said to never happen again.
Yep.
And the only person who even has the ability to think on that basis, he sees it as Kemi. And that's incredibly telling, though, I was like, what the hell's wrong with the rest of you?
Well, this is what I was talking about in the first segment, where it's like, look, David Cameron's like, we need anti-meritocratic shortlists, and look at the Conservative Party now.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
As can we open with that line, saying that the right has lost its confidence in itself. I mean, David Cameroon over here, who certainly lost confidence in himself.
Well, the thing is, I imagine he's just, you know, goes to bed every night, you know, leans over, kisses a picture of Tony Blair, turns off the light, and then goes to sleep. You know, just like you said, walls surrounded in Tony Blair posters. I just can't stand it.
Goes to all his book signings with like a hound.
Hi, Mr. Blair. I've read this 1,000 times.
Oh, boy. And you can see the response from the left to her campaign as well, which has gotten better and better as time goes on, which is they all keep endorsing her. Of course, not in their own words. They would never do such a thing. They do it by denouncing her, which is good.
Right, okay.
Because, well, if the left isn't denouncing you,
what
are you doing?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, that's exactly right. If the left isn't saying, this is literally Satan, then I don't want to hear from you as a conservative.
You've not said anything worthwhile.
Yeah.
Because if they're not upset by you, then you're feeding into their worldview.
Think they own you. That's why. They think they can get what they want from you. What they should be looking at is going, oh, no, there's no path forward here. This person is going to destroy all of my communist dreams. This person has to be stopped. They're saying that about Kemi Badenoch, which is nice.
So you can see The Guardian here, who decided to write a story about the fact that they hate Kemi because she dared talk about people with peripheral activities and superfluous support staff.
Scroll up a little bit, John, on that. Just the tweet. Right, Miss Badenoch's book, War on Woke, appears to mean a war on some of the most underprivileged and vulnerable in society for her own political and personal gain. Oh, thank God.
Her own political gain. I was like, yes. Much of the country that vote, we do not like our money being wasted on this. So
yes,
we will vote for her, and therefore she gets political gain by screwing you over.
Do you know where the marginalised should be? At the margins.
Otherwise, they're not marginalised.
Exactly. And what I love about this, though, is the mainstreaming of the concept of war on woke and the sort of the Overton window slowly shifting to the right, which we talked about the other day. It's like, no, there has been some good that's come out of the Conservative leadership.
Such defensive language.
Oh, yeah.
As you can see.
Oh, yeah.
In which they're just like, the right wing, they're doing this war on culture or something? I don't know, a culture war? I've never heard of this. I've never done anything like that in my life. But it's just, they're trying to claim that basically as soon as the right fights back, they're just being silly because they can't win the argument anymore.
And look how well it's going for Kemi. Kemi's like, yeah, I'm an unrepentant culture warrior against wokeism. Polls go up. And it's like, there we go, we go.
And this is, you know, good for that aspect, you know, the left, that's how they respond. But I've also just seen endlessly from conservative MPs who are like, yeah, I don't spend much time on culture war stuff. That's a bit, you know, not that interesting. People care about the economy.
That Tom chap who's just like, oh, I don't want to talk about any of this.
Because it's an obvious cop-out.
Yeah.
Because you're like, okay, so what are you saying with that? You're saying that this issue should be just left undefended.
It's also, he's a white man and will be like called a racist.
Yeah, there's also that aspect, of course. But then that just shows cowardice.
Yeah.
But that's not the only one. If you go to the next one as well, we have more from this. So this is Vice News, who endorsed Kemi by denouncing her. Just saying that they hate her. Ben here used to work for the BBC, so technically this is also the BBC denouncing her.
What a surprise.
Yeah. He's made loads of articles trying to expose her.
Yep, salute the Minister for Inequality.
It was just like, they're working against trans rights. Oh, no. And if you go to the next one, this is where it gets into the debate itself. Because, of course, Kemi and this lady, Penny, who no one and their dog had heard of until 5 minutes ago, when she became the bookie's favourite to win out of nowhere.
Yeah, weird, that, isn't it?
Big sauce. This was a part of the debate. This is the first debate they had, in which immediately Kemi just ended up bringing up the fact that, some previous minister, I don't know who that was, was trying to push ahead with trans women or women for some reason. Even though they say they're a conservative, and Penny took that personally. Let's play the clip.
When I took over as Equalities Minister in 2020, the policy that was being pushed was self-ID. So I don't understand how that would have changed unless someone else did it in between. So I didn't work with Penny, but my understanding was that the previous minister who had done the role had wanted self-ID. And that was something that I reversed with Liz.
That's not correct, and this will all be on record in government.
It is on record.
Right. Well, Liz Truss, you were also involved in this as an Equalities Minister. Who's right?
Well, I'm not going to go around criticising other candidates in this race. What I will be clear about is I started in the women in equalities job there was a plan to move forward on self-ID.
Exactly.
I believe in women's rights. I also believe that transgender people should be treated with respect.
Exactly. I mean, I wish Liz Truss wasn't so cowardly there. She could have just turned up and be like, yeah, it was Penny.
Because it's so obviously. Yeah. I mean, Penny was the one standing in Parliament going, trans women are women.
Yeah.
But so thanks, Penny.
But it's who's bringing up this paradigm and saying, basically, this has to end. I'm going to end it. If you don't like it, then you're fired.
Mm.
Therefore... Mm. Okay, we move on. Like, we have another world to move into. And also the weird obsession with her being like, oh, just check the record. Why would you lie?
Yeah.
Like, this whole leadership thing is about, oh, Boris Johnson, that dirty liar. I'm not like him. And you open your campaign with, I'm going to lie and say that I never did this.
It's also such a verifiable lie. It's,
but,
I mean, it's so obviously public.
Like, you got an award from Pink News for doing this back in the day.
So on the one hand, we have Vice, The Guardian, and all the leftist outlets screeching that they hate this black woman who has some thoughts of her own.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, you've got the white woman calling herself a conservative getting an award from Pink News.
I also love Tony Blair. David Cameron is a member of the fan club.
Amazing. Again, if any conservative is ever in any way treated well by any of these people, they're a subversive infiltrator and you should reject them.
Yeah, 100%. And this continued to the second debate, which came up. And this is a clip, Guido clip, this one, in which the interviewer brings it up and then Penny gets very defensive again because, well, she was like, oh, check the record. And everyone was like,
we did.
Well, I've got the clip. Let's play.
Can I just come to you? We're going to touch on the issue that Penny Mordaunt has been questioned about and the self-identity on the transgender issue. First of all, you questioned Penny Mordaunt's honesty on that, her recollection, and then you questioned whether she'd understood the issue correctly. Just set the record straight. What exactly are you saying there? And was it helpful to the nature of this debate?
I am saying that when I took on the role of Equalities Minister, we had to change the existing government policy, which previous ministers had put in place. And what I am challenging, or what I challenged Penny on, is what that policy was. She is saying she did not agree with it, but I don't understand how that would be the case. If she had been the previous minister, if she didn't agree with it, why was the policy as it was?
Talk to Kemi Bates.
Well, look, I wasn't the previous minister. The stuff in the papers today demonstrates what my policy was and refutes this. But I think this whole thing is unedifying. And I would just say to all four of my other colleagues and candidates here, I know why this is being done. But what I would say to you is that all attempts to paint me as an out-of-touch individual will fail. I'm the only person on this stage
that has won and fought a Labour seat.
My constituents do not elect people who are out of touch.
That is weak.
Transparently caught.
Yeah. And being like, I won a Labour seat. Well, that's a concern, isn't it? That kind of indicates that maybe they thought of you as one of their own.
Right. I'm transparently lying. Everyone knows I'm lying. There's video evidence of the fact that I've lied. I've got awards from Pink News on me. But trust me, I'm a right winger because
I can't stop saying trans women are women.
But again, it's also just like, no one asked her to lie either. Like, it's just such a stupid... You could turn around and be like, yeah, well, you know, I was doing Theresa May's thing at the time. Or you could, you know...
Yeah, I've changed
that.
My mind.
Anything. And instead, no, just double down on trust me, bro. And that's just embarrassing.
And it's so much worse as well. Because, I mean, saying, well, look, you know, I was in this political atmosphere where certain arguments have been advanced, and I hadn't really thought about them very well, and they just felt intuitively true. And then I spent some time thinking about them, and I was like, no, actually, this leads to terrible consequences. I think they're wrong on the face of it.
But
you could really have pulled this back.
That would assume that she had some own thoughts of herself.
That's probably why David Starkey has only endorsed one of these candidates.
Yeah, as you can see there. And the only reason I pick out those two clips is because the rest of the debates are just boring. I'm sorry to dunk on it, but it's dull.
Yeah.
All the other stuff, except maybe the fact that Rishi Sunak was defending China, but
all
other aspect. But just to mention here, of course, Posey Parker has come out and endorsed Kemi in response to this as well. This is what I mean. Like, just everyone on our side, you know, Calvin Robinson, so forth, Darren Grimes has endorsed Kemi, just being like, yeah, stick it to him.
Yeah.
And you could see here just being like, no, Penny Mordaunt, literal liar, doesn't know what a woman is, go to hell. Very true as well. You'll also know, we got the news just before we started. Apparently they've cancelled all future debates because of things like this.
Because Kemi keeps winning.
Blue violence.
But look, all you have to do is just not lie and do the right thing. And Kemi seems to be the only person who's prepared to do that.
And people won't think you're a liar and doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's not rocket science, guys.
Yeah. And also, I mentioned earlier, these people were like, oh, it's not a big deal. Okay, next one, please. The NHS, still unable to say what a woman is.
Oh, of course they are.
I'm sorry, but yeah, the institution we all, you know, give our souls and lives to. Creepy stock photo as well. What's going on there?
is weird, isn't it?
They write in here about pregnant people. There we are. Young people, pregnant people, and babies. It's just like, okay. All the comments are just like, woman, 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 woman.
Yeah.
From the TERFs as well. Although I just wanted to mention something I digged up. Penny seems to be delusional. Like, genuinely delusional.
I can believe it, yeah.
I haven't read the book, but some guy, Unheard, has. And he gave us a review of her book. Weird, to say the least. And 100% Blairite. So,
oh, really?
Some quotes from here. Modernization starts with Parliament, then ripples towards the BBC, the military, the monarchy, the sciences, and the universities. What modernization means is never explained. It is taken as a synonym for good. Fantastic.
Well, that's exactly what David Cameron was doing as well. This is pure 100%. Blairism. So, well, we didn't want to look like we weren't modern. It's like, why? Modernity's gross.
Mordaunt moves on to her plan mission. Quote, "We must rethink our institutions if they are going to regain popular support," she declares. "It has to be a top-down as well as a bottom-up approach." Okay, then.
So we the social engineers of the government, need a top-down approach or else the people at the bottom won't support us. I mean, it's literally Tony Blair coming through her mouth.
Government must do more, but due to its inefficiency, many of its tasks can be devolved to private charities.
Brilliant.
Big corporations are thinning out the state, but growth requires lax regulations and lower taxes. Progress will come from protecting dissenting minority opinions. But censorship is fine if it is developed by, quote, elected and accountable representatives.
What?
Otherwise, quote, violent noises from the Looniverse will wreck the public discourse.
I can't be very enough.
People shouldn't be cancelled for having different views, but she does approve of Trump's Twitter ban.
What is this? Trying to serve two masters. Like, I'm trying to sound conservative, but I support everything the left wants.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously blue Tony Blair.
Yeah.
It's like, have to say some things because I'm painted blue.
Yes.
But, like, I'm obviously a Blairite.
But I do approve of Trump, the president of the United States, being banned by Twitter. That is disgusting.
Yeah, I mean, the author in here writes, so it's perfect. "The lack of unity here, the looseness of the associations, tells us Mordaunt is not a structured thinker. She has no philosophy, aside from the lazy, wiggish belief in things can only get better."
I mean, that's literally... Tony Blair, you won't remember this, but that's literally the song Tony Blair came out to.
100%.
Oh, God.
They also write, "She would like much more immigration than the average Tory member probably realises."
Oh, I believe it.
We won't get to find out how much that is because they've cancelled the debates.
Yeah.
Wonder why that is.
Because Kemi Badenoch was on the stage.
Yeah.
She was about to eat her alive.
Speaking of which, she is the only one I've noted that has said anything about immigration.
Yep.
And it's in this article here, in which she just writes herself, quote, "We need to reconsider the demand side of housing, not just the supply side."
I mean, like, good for Kemi for being the one person who's going to talk about it, but it's such... It is such a low barrier.
Yeah, it is baby steps. I mean, this is the whole right-wing zone, really.
Yeah.
Do you remember Clavin saying, you know, a Republican will say women are women, and the crowd goes wild.
Yeah.
It is true. Our side is a bit depressing.
But again, I'm not in any way trying to take anything away from Kemi, because she's probably operating in a particular environment where she's like, if I'm going to approach this, I'm going to have to do it gently, you know, softly, softly.
The rest of them have decided that the political correctness of endless mass migration is correct. Now, how do we work in that paradigm?
Exactly, it's just presupposed, and, you know, just build more houses, Tom Harwood style.
And this is, again, what I mean, which just turns around with a chisel and goes, look at that paradigm.
Yeah.
Deal with this instead. I mean, literally the podcast we did the other day, that we need to deal with the demand side.
Yes.
People rightly recognise that building more homes while doing nothing to bring immigration down is like running up the down escalator. We'll never get to where we need with that approach, and we won't persuade people to accept more homes if it is being done due to immigration failures.
Oh, that's very good, because mass immigration is an immigration failure.
In fact, it is.
All immigration sounds like an immigration failure from that paradigm, which is great. Love it, Kemi.
Why are we building homes just for immigrants? Because we suck at immigration. We fail on immigration.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm a conservative.
Yeah. An actual conservative, yeah.
If we can bring immigration down to a substantial level, we can then protect green spaces for our children and precious agricultural land.
Good idea.
Again, another great idea. It's like, yeah, what if we conquer over the whole country? That's right, I'm Liz Truss. It's like, what if we don't, Liz, for 5 minutes instead?
What if the foreigners just live in their own countries where they are at the moment?
I know that this island is the only inhabitable zone on Earth, and everywhere else, I mean, it's just a wasteland out there, I presume. It's not like anyone has ever left this island, surely, and seen. And so controlling immigration is important to manage the pressures it puts on housing and public services. Building confidence in the government's ability to control immigration is an important foundation for ensuring a cohesive society as well.
I mean, just every Conservative should be saying this, but it takes Kemi Badenoch, because, and I hate to say it, it's because she's a black woman, that she has the freedom to say this.
You can say that, but then you also have Rishi Sunak, who is not a white man.
That's true, but he's not a woman.
Just who, instead of too busy counting his money, and yep. And then the others just...
But the point is, like, none of the other... Steve Baker couldn't say this. Steve Baker would be called a racist, he'd be dragged through the press, and then the party whips would be like, look, Steve, just shut up. Shut up, you're a white man.
I hate that framing, frankly, because he can if he just has the balls to.
Yeah,
because,
but he doesn't. He's going to get all this pressure put on him, and he's a spineless, limp-wristed libertarian cuck, and we'll just bend the knee.
Because there's the funniest example I've ever seen in this country in our politics, which is Desmond Swade, who was caught doing blackface. And this obviously went to the press, and then the party turned to him and said, bro, you've got to apologize. And he went, no. Our chairman's black. Make him go out there and defend me. The black chairman went, all right. It was, I wasn't offended by it. Looks just like me. So, anyway.
He was cosplaying as me.
That's a joke, but it's just the fact that Desmond Swade is so popular because he goes out and says things that are true, like Kemi, and it's just like, as long as you're popular, you can do things. You don't have to bend the knee.
You can, but that requires a certain level of moral courage. Yeah. And someone like Steve Baker just can't do that.
You don't believe it. No. But anyway, well, she's also actually pro-free speech, which is neat, as you can see here.
Oh,
basically
wow.
Just saying, censorship, the hell with that.
But, good. I mean,
the example in here being given that saying women are women would become a crime under this law.
We should not be legislating for hurt feelings. Two thumbs up.
100%. You've got the next one as well. The Americans have also started to take note.
Oh, wow, great.
This I'm really interested in, because Americans usually don't need to give a crap about our conservatives, because they're useless. However, actually building some bridges for once over the pond to make connections, as you see here with Chris Rufo taking note. We can actually work together on trying to fix the West instead of just, the UK being a disappointment in that regard. And I thought I'd just send this off with Rishi, because I didn't realize how bad this was. But it's really not great. As you can see here, this is a clip Nigel Farage put out. And you got to think, for who's going to win and if there are any Conservative MPs or members watching. This is something that's really been on my mind, because he seems to get a sort of a pass as, the guy who's in government, therefore he can lead us, I swear.
Yeah.
But think about it. Here's a clip of him that Nigel Farage put out, and this is probably going to be on every advertisement thing for Labour ever. Let's play what he says.
I have friends who are aristocrats. I have friends who are upper class. I have friends who are... working class, but I'm not working class. But
it's just like, I know it's a smear, but it's a smear because it works, is why it's going to end up being used, because he is rich as hell. Go to the next link, just very quickly. The joint fortune of Rishi Sunak and his wife is £730 million. That's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money.
I didn't realise it was that much. The couple of...
A billionaire.
The couple own four homes worth an estimated £15 million, two in London, one in Yorkshire, and one in LA. Their Kensington Mews home, which is estimated to be worth $7 million alone, has five bedrooms, four bathrooms, two reception rooms, spread across four stories, and a private garden, of course.
How did he make all this money?
He made it through the family, it seems.
Oh.
It's just, of course he did. The property in Yorkshire is a Grade 2 listed Georgian mansion. I mean, literal mansion. Okay. Set across 12 acres and includes an ornamental lake.
Of course it does.
Yeah. He also got planning permission last year to build a swimming pool, a gym, tennis court, as well, because it wasn't developed enough, presumably.
Oh, look at this. Dominic Raab defended Sunak's place on the list, saying, I think it's fantastic that you've got someone of British Indian origin showing people in our country that you can get to the top of politics. Oh, shut up. I liked Raab as well.
Yeah, I know.
Blairite identity politics will do.
I want someone who has the same concerns as me, knows what it's like to have your lives ruined by some chancellor who
makes
inflation 10%.
Or why don't we outflank Labour from the left?
Of course. And they go into the details here, which I'm not going to go through because it's not that relevant. But essentially, loads of money from his family, and also he became a millionaire in his 20s. So,
lucky him.
Yeah, great for him. But do I trust him to actually win? Of course not. Like, imagine if your Labour campaigning team, I mean, if you had to run against a guy who's a millionaire in his 20s...
Oh, you'd be like, brilliant.
Worth $700 million.
Perfect.
Has openly said he has no working class friends.
I'm literally going to destroy this man.
And is the man responsible for raising taxes and destroying the economy, which won't affect him because he's a millionaire beyond belief.
And also the inflation. Mm. That's meaning you can't afford to eat.
I just... Easy, easy peasy. Although, apparently there's one more thing in here which also isn't good. The CCP have endorsed him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, right. Okay. So everyone based has been endorsing Kemi. The CCP has endorsed Rishi. Right, okay. That's very interesting.
Follow Rishi Sunak's good example, Lei Fang. This is a CCP outlet writing in here. They gave a line which they endorsed him as the only candidate with a pragmatic view of developing balanced ties with China. It's just like,
right,
okay.
So you're giving him money.
Right, that's worrying. But anyway, I'll end that there because I've gone on for long enough. But certainly I can see one aspect, or at least one candidate, that can be a possible end to Blairism. By the time this goes out, they'll have eliminated one more person, which will be Tom. Let's not laugh.
Yeah.
And we'll see where the votes lie and see if she has any chance. But either way, ugh, God, the absolute state of the candidates.
But it's nice that there's one glimmer of hope, right? Mm. There's one person who managed to get somewhere that's actually doing okay, who we could actually be able to, you know, say, yes, I'd be happy with that person running the country because I think she'll do something that's in our interest.
Maybe immigration should be lower.
Yeah. Just, I mean,
and the right goes wild. Yeah,
I know. But she's good on other issues as well. Yeah, so, yeah. So, you know.
She's good on other issues.
Anyway, so it turns out that Reddit have decided to ban the term groomer. So, I mean, you know, like if there was a Crofts Reddit or something, you know, so any sort of show jumping Reddits or anything like that, pff, too bad, because that's gone. Because it turned out that the right realized that actually what the left has been doing is kind of grooming children into its political ideology, into to really kind of divorce them and despoil any kind of innocence they may have had as being children. And this, well, they reflected that remark. They represented that remark. And so it had to go. But before we start, if you want support, you go to the lotuscities.com book club and check out our new book club about Michael Knowles's Speechless. Now, it was Harry and Connor who did this, and they had nothing but very, very good things to say about it. Because Michael Knowles has actually, he's not just been like, you know, free speech good, right? It's like, obviously free speech good. But he's also gone underneath the hood to start talking about the philosophical roots of everything that's going on. I won't spoil any of it, but it's very, very good. Anyway, moving on. Let's begin with, what does groomer mean? Well, Urban Dictionary actually has a great definition of it. There are lots of definitions of this, but the Urban Dictionary one pretty much is the best one. A groomer is someone who builds a relationship, trust, and emotional connection with the child or young person so they can manipulate, exploit, and abuse them. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Why we call them grooming gangs.
Yeah. And this is exactly what left-wing political activists have been doing in schools, on the internet, and anywhere else they can get their grubby hands on children. I mean, for example, you can notice the 4,000 percent increase in transgender people and children referred to for transgender treatments to Tavistock, which, let's be fair, probably not like natural, organic.
No, perfectly natural.
Well,
it's not like the media are endlessly promoting this.
Yes.
It's not like every kid's show and is trying to push this on kids.
One of the things that I've noticed from my own children is that they'll say that it's being treated by like the power structures in the schools as if it's trendy. It's like, really, it's trendy, is it?
Yeah.
Like, look at it. Like, is that trendy? Anyway.
Well, they never read the regret stories.
No, so. But it's not even that. It's like, is that cool, though? Or is it cool to be, like, a giga chad? You know, I would have said the opposite. Anyway. But, yeah, so this, you know, massive increase, 4,000% in 10 years. Some educationalists have previously warned that the promotion of transgender issues in schools has sown confusion in children's minds, and encouraging children to question gender has become an industry. And so the question is, well, why would they be doing this? It's like, well, power, obviously. Political power. You get to the next one. Like, this is human rights campaigning. This is a Democrat organization. But you can see that this is the continuing fight for equality. Together, we elected Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. We're going to pass the Equality Act through Congress and ensure protections for LGBTQ people nationwide. So this is political power. That's what they're getting from this. They expressly say that they're getting political power from this. And of course, they're getting money from this. Loads of money. Give us your money. Look, here's 15 organizations that you can donate.
Republicans will put you all in camps. Give us money and they won't.
Exactly. So political power.
Just give us $3 and I will stop the camps.
Money. And also a form of social capital, which is really strange, such as, you know, the Drag Queen Story Hour, as Leo's put here. This article talking about it is a good summary he's got here. Drag Queen Story Hour UK has claimed that far-right neo-Nazi groups are disrupting its tour of primary schools. Mate, that Nazi group is Mumsnet. But he's not wrong. But the point is, what kind of person wants to dress up as a drag queen in front of children and read them stories? So, I mean, what I'm going to call social capital...
Kind mum. Sorry, it's just the imagery of a bunch of British mums being Nazis is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, but the point is, like, the question is, why? What is this person getting out of doing this to children? Now, It's I'm not going to say that they're all people with suspect designs on children and their sexuality, but a lot of them are, which
it
is why
it takes us a lot.
Yeah, it's always the people you most suspect. And this is why Florida's anti-grooming bill was necessary. This is a great article by the Washington Examiner, and they say one group of activists. This is exactly the reason why this has to be done. One group of activists hosted a sexual education summer camp for children in Kentucky last year called Sexy Sex Ed Camp, which featured workshops on gender exploration, BDSM, being a sex worker, self-managed abortions, and sexual activity while using illicit drugs. So I'm not saying it's all about money, power, influence. I think there's a significant cohort within this organization that want to diddle kids.
Have your kids had an opportunity to explore condoms? Why would they? They're kids.
Yes, no, my children haven't. You disgusting paedophile. Why are you asking them? Is the question, isn't it?
It takes repetition before kids master the knowledge. This means they should have many exposures to condoms. What? Is this illegal? Like, this must be illegal, surely.
One of the camp's organisers, Tanya Turner, has bragged about working with school systems as she says she tries to find ways to include her curriculum in the classroom setting. This curriculum presumably includes her belief that children of all ages, including toddlers, should be encouraged to masturbate. She believes that toddlers masturbate. They don't. Toddlers do not masturbate.
Hang on. But, like, you can't... So they must know.
What, that these are a bunch of weird pervs who just want to diddle your kids? Yeah. It's not rocket science.
I mean, literally. Tap, tap, tap.
Yeah, it's the meme of the wolf with the rouge on the cheeks being like, I just want to educate your chickens. But anyway, so they were complaining that this has been weaponized. Rightly so. It's like, you can't say that we're groomers. It's like, well, you just really look like groomers.
So I said I wanted to kill everyone, and everyone like started using that to say I was a bad guy. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I love this article from NBC News. The most prominent slurs center on accusations that LGBT people and their allies are paedophiles, using the word grooming, which the term has been weaponized online and now appears almost constantly on many social media platforms. Well done, lads. Keep saying it. Keep using it. If they're grooming kids, you should be able to call that out.
Use it appropriately.
Yep, use it appropriately. Data from the social media platform Reddit, analyzed by Jeremy Blackburn, an assistant professor at computer science at Binghamton University, found that 100% increase since the beginning of the year of discussion of grooming in conjunction with various LGBTQ slurs. Excellent. The majority of subreddits that are adopting the rhetoric have a pretty long history of content moderation concerns, and are definitely not what I would consider LGBTQ friendly. Well, that's good.
We're going to have to start calling it the G word.
Well, that's actually probably what's going to happen. While it's not exactly surprising to me that the rhetoric has been adopted, I am somewhat surprised the rhetoric was so quickly adopted. And he is right that this blazed across the right-wing ecosphere like wildfire, but that's because it was accurate and it applied.
An overabundance, even, of evidence of people doing this.
It's just
and
everywhere.
Claiming that they were allowed to do it because, well, it's LGBT month.
Like, therefore, okay. I need to dance naked in front of your children while simulating a sex act. And if you don't like that, you're a homophobe.
Could you imagine standing there with like Biden's executive order on Pride Month? Just be like, look, it says right there.
Yeah, exactly. And so Reddit was like, okay, yeah, that's a good point. We need to ban this word because this is basically the new N-word for gays. Reddit banned it because under its hate speech policy, as well as any reference to LGBTQ people as paedophiles. So now even those who are actual paedophiles, you can't even say that about them because they're LGBTQ. So it's a nice thing for them to hide behind. It's almost like they're saying, look, pedos, come over here and we've got a method of you accessing
a nice
children.
Safe space for you.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally, I know, ma'am, that he is a pedo, but you can't call him that because he is gay.
Yeah.
I'm like, right, don't care.
Yeah. That's exactly right, actually. The vile slur. I love Ping News. They write like the most extreme things. The vile slur, which conflates LGBTQ identity with paedophilia, has been increasing online and has now been banned by Reddit as hate speech.
It's not the footage that does that. It's the slur that does that.
It's not the criminal convictions that do that. But what I love about this is it seems like a big self-report. Anyway, one journalist explained that they enforced the hate speech policy on content that utilizes the groomer libel. So what if we just say about people who are actively grooming? Like, you know, the previous one we saw in the Washington Examiner. Anyway, so the journalist was always like, now it's your move, Twitter, as in expecting Twitter to now ban the G word as well. That'd be interesting. There are, of course, activist groups against LGBT and grooming, such as one group called Gays Against Groomers, which is actually really hilarious because it's like, you know, a bunch of like California gays who are like, you know, they're like, you know, sort of funny, snappy things, but just against the grooming stuff. And they're saying, no, this is disgusting. You're weird pedos. Stop it. You know, not in my name sort of thing. And it's good for them. You know, more power to them. Let's hope they carry on. But they make a good point. They say, we stand firmly against Reddit's decision to censor the word groomer from their platform as an anti-LGBT slur. Equating the word...
We're not groomers.
Exactly. We're not groomers, so why are you calling us groomers? Exactly right. Equating the word groomer as an inherently anti-LGBT slur asserts that LGBT automatically implies groomer, which is an insult to the millions of us within the community who strongly oppose the sexualization and ideological indoctrination of children. By banning this word from their platform, in such terms, Reddit has not only inadvertently expressing their support for the grooming and abuse of children, but also paints our community as a whole as those who support and engage in it. We found that reprehensible and offensive, which is a great statement. I completely agree.
I also love just the historical narrative here, because like the push for homosexual toleration or acceptance has always been pushed for by groups, and then we've got to the point that you might think, oh, okay, the Christians might be the opposite version of that, where they're pushing back to try and weaken homosexual acceptance or toleration. And instead it's Reddit and groups like that who are like, yeah, by the way, every gay person, also a groomer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're the ones actively destroying this, well, actually quite nice thing we used to have.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep.
I mean, I personally know quite a few gay people who despise all of this stuff and would doubtless endorse this statement instead. But those people aren't Redditors. They don't use Reddit. We actually have a picture of the average Redditor.
Do we?
Yeah. From actually, no, not even an artist's interpretation. This is a forum called Our Average Redditor.
Oh. Okay.
So, I mean, you know, just saying, this person's like, don't call me a groomer. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, which version should they go into?
Yeah.
Trans rights are human rights.
But definitely, don't look at this guy's search history. Anyway, this has started blowing up nicely, memetically, as it were. If you can get that one up, that's great. And the thing is, right, the trans flag really does have that kind of ominous childlike quality to it, because it's pastel baby colors. It's like, okay, and now we're not even allowed to call you groomers. It's like, okay, that you're just really making the rod for your own backs here. But Predator is quite a good one, I think, and so I found one and posted one out on Getter, so if you want to go follow me there. But it's a really good way of isolating those people who have untoward motivations, you know, because obviously you've got, you know, gay people who just want to live their lives and be normal. Then you have these weird people who need access to your children because they'll never have children of their own, do whatever they're trying to do with. And that's them. Very nice. But that's actually where I'm going to end that. The links are left on the end. I forgot to take out, John. Sorry. So Reddit's banned groomer because they were like, hey, I resemble that remark.
Certainly do. With that, I suppose we'll go to the video comments.
Some things are worth fighting for.
No.
But for people listening, apparently there's some new movie that's going to be based on Dahomey Amazonians.
It's called The Woman King.
Yeah, and the kingdom of Dahomey utterly crushed them. And as listed there, the French.
No, force. Yeah, the French crushed them.
It was just the fact of like, oh my god, Yas Queen, we can make the movie. And it's like, yeah, how does it end?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Like.
And the thing,
I wonder if they're going to mention the slavery as well.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I was making a big deal out of this because, look, I mean, Dahomey literally was an empire of slaves, slave traders. And so it's like, yeah, look at these glorious black people from Africa. We're venerating them. It's like, these are the people who enslaved the black people who live in America now.
Yes, so, queen, a woman queen, the feminists say. And the black Americans go, wait, hang on.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, these are, well, A, imagine losing to the French. I mean, to be fair, lots of people have lost to the French in previous eras. So, you know, we're not talking about the modern French. Just the idea that, oh, we're going to make a film that black people love. It'll be the real life Wakanda. Oh.
Which black people? I mean, in Nigeria, they're waiting for this film. That's my great-granddad. Very good guy. Made lots of money. Don't know how. There's something else I love about Kemi. It's just whenever she talks about slavery. Because, you know, her blackness, as the leftists would put it, is in a whole different paradigm to how Kimberly Crenshaw came over and was talking in a Yankee accent about what it's like to be black. And Kemi's like,
oh, that's a good point. You know, that Kimberly Crenshaw talking to Kemi must have had the slow dawning realization. This was the slaver.
Yeah.
Crenshaw, like,
and she's the Giga Chad.
Yeah. yeah, exactly. And Kemi's like, I look down on you.
Yeah, literally.
I'm literally better than you.
Also, like, what is your mentality? Because there's the thing, like, the Nigerians, like, sure, they became a British protectorate and whatnot, but they didn't lose their sense of stealth or their confidence. Whereas, like, the black American narrative, especially within the intersectional movement, is one of such victimization that you might as well be like a femboy. I mean, like, you're the Western femboys if you're believing in intersectionalism and the black American.
Yeah, but also, like, you must really hate the Nigerians and the Ghanans and stuff like that.
Like, you're the Tariq Nasheed's butt-breaking. Anyway, but it's just like that whole dynamic is amazing. I wish they'd go in a room together and do another debate. That would be good.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to the next one. People listening, we're looking at trees.
Nice scene.
Trees. All right.
That was interesting.
Let's go to the next one.
Throw them a fiver, even if you're not interested in the product, you know, just you can consider that to be like your part. Every little bit counts to every one of these independent content creators.
Okay, I've been toying with this idea for a while, and now after watching that, you've convinced me, Carl. I am going to try and crowdfund a USA and UK book tour next year. Can you guys suggest any really good crowdfunding platforms?
Crap, yeah, give Singo. Is that what you said, John? I'm pretty sure they were the ones who didn't screw over the truckers until the government did.
Right, okay. I have no idea. I think they're all suspect.
All right. Well, my understanding is Give Singo are the only ones so far that are not proven to be. You know.
Right, okay. Okay, well, there we go. Yeah,
so, there you are.
That is some new holy. Yeah. Souls. Soyuz is a very beautiful place, that's for sure.
As beautiful as the twisting, winding southern BC roads are, when you're driving a 40-foot bus, you got to be really careful because you can run out of air, the brakes can overheat, and you can end up in a runaway situation, which is extremely dangerous.
It's cool, though. It's nice that you're going somewhere nice in your mobile home, too.
Don't really have anything to say. Nice one.
Asking me to take them to war. War.
If John Boyega manages to portray King Gezo sympathetically to the audience, then, I would argue, he should deserve an Oscar. But that does require his character as having been written completely historically accurately.
Oh, it's going to be funny.
Oh, yeah.
Why did they think this was a good idea?
I don't know, but presumably historical illiteracy. But I've seen loads of people going, no, I don't like it. So, no, I think this is going to be a gem.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great for us. Yeah, for Hollywood. I don't know what they've done. So.
I'm looking forward to watching it.
So I'm actually going to be leaving for Greece in less than a week. For those of you who don't know, this year is the 2,500th anniversary of the Battle of Plataea.
Oh.
And a group of friends and I are going over to a reenactment at the battlefield. We're also going to be visiting a bunch of museums and ancient temples and historical sites. So I'm getting real excited for this trip. I'll try to get some good videos for you guys while I'm there. I'm excited.
Dude, what's the date? I'm interested. You don't know anything about that Plataea.
No.
Yeah. I know.
I tell you, it's not my area of history. I love World War II. So.
No. So.
No, about Ochi Day. You know about Ochi Day?
No.
So it's still a national holiday. It's the day when it's literally called No Day. And it's because it's the day when the Greeks turned around to the Italians and just went, no.
Oh.
Like, the Italians were like, give us all the country. Just went, no. And then the Italians invaded and lost. And had to get the Germans to come down.
Yeah.
Again, there's a lovely song about it as well. They're just like, oh yeah, that spaghetti-eating Napoleon is trying to take us over. Anyway, yeah, next one.
All right, so picture this. You know your dad's at home and in danger. One of your brothers has been hanging around with a dodgy crowd. They're on their way to probably kill him. You were out at the time, so you've not got your keys or phone, so you rush home in person. You've not got your keys, you've not got time to f*** around, so you just kick the door in to try and get to your dad and warn him about how much danger he's in. But he doesn't listen to you explaining that he's in danger. He doesn't recognise that you're trying to help him. He doesn't realise that you would only have done that in dire straits. He's just complaining about the fancy varnishing on his
why
door.
Magnus?
Honestly, strikes me as kind of ungrateful. Anyway, that's why Magnus did nothing wrong.
Told you. Moving on.
Afternoon, long time no see. Here for one final shill. I've got physical copies of our album Mortuary Melodies. Head over to deliberatemiscarriage.bigcartel.com. Pick up yours today. Last gold tier sort of month for me for a while. We're getting married in a month and need to save some money. See you guys soon. Take care.
Congratulations.
Yeah, always good to see people doing creative things.
Mm.
And that's the video comments, so let's go to the written ones on the side.
Lord Nerevar says, good show how fundamentally broken our society is. Tony Blair launched an all-out invasion of his own country that continues to this day. Did we clap him in irons, exile him worse? No, we knighted him. Good point. Charlie says, regarding mass migration, do you remember during Brexit when the Ramonas said they were going to leave the EU, an EU country? Remember, those same Ramonas said Brexit would force all EU nationals to leave, meaning there would be an employee shortage. Funny how the UK population increased despite Brexit. Yes, but if you look at the breakdown of the statistics, you'll see it's non-EU migration that shot up and EU migration that went down.
It still didn't go below zero net.
No, of course not.
It's important to keep in mind, because everyone keeps saying it's like there's been a mass exodus of Europeans and now they're not here anymore. And it's like, no.
There's still loads.
Still, but over that time period, still more have come in then left.
Yeah.
So actually we have more people than ever from that region. So this narrative that there are problems caused by
it's just proportionally speaking, for some reason the UK government's like, so we'll just
Pakistan number
one. Exactly. So then what are we trying to get
a headband?
Yeah, are we trying to get a trade deal with them or something? Like, what's going on? X, Y, and Z says Tony Blair, the English Clinton minus the body count.
Do you know about trade with Pakistan? How ridiculous that is.
No.
Like, UK to Pakistani trade. Like, they get loads of money out of us. We get nothing.
Of course.
Out of them. There's nothing to sell them.
Well, what would we want? What would they want?
Our version of Islam, I guess.
Anyway, the English Clinton, minus the body count, take that as you will, unless Rotherham, etc., are due to his policy. They are due to his policy. Even then, the Clintons are taking notes. Now there's a statue that will deserve to be torn down with prejudice if some D-bag thinks one should be erected. Do you think there'll be a statue of Tony Blair at any point?
Oh, yeah. I'll be put by some cringe Blairite in the Labour Party somewhere.
In the Conservative Party, you mean?
Oh, yeah.
David Cameron polishing
the statue.
No,
they'll turn up. They won't be officially the ones who, you know, erected it, but they'll be the ones to cut, like, the ribbon and to kiss his feet. And
David Cameron will literally spend his evening polishing it so it shines. But on the plus side, at least I'll have a statue I feel like legitimately vandalizing.
You know those brass statues where like the penis and the nose are golden because people keep touching it?
Yeah,
it's got to be that. You know, David Cameron down every night.
Yeah, with his boots. Nitrous Eliolo's doormat says, how can anyone reasonable person consider mass migration has ever been a boon to the economy? Look at the areas where a large number of immigrants live and they are predominantly considered deprived, leading to an increase of black hole of taxpayers' money into these areas. I mean, you know, we agree.
Depends on the group of immigrants. There is a little bit more resolution there, but largely right. I mean, people think, you know, the millions of people from Pakistan are like Indian billionaires. They're not.
But
don't
also,
know who's surprised by that.
But he's right. There becomes a black hole of taxpayer money. But also, like, they're just looking at it completely wrong. So, yeah, but... like, we could have 50,000 people who earn 100 grand a year, which would be great. Or we could have 50 million people who earn £10 a year. Or probably more a year, but you know what I mean. And it's just ridiculous. Like, it's the wrong way to look at anything. Callum says, didn't Blair a while ago say he regretted what he'd done to Britain? Yeah, I'm going to have to do a podcast on this, I think. Tony Blair talking back everything that he'd done, basically.
Tony Blair versus Tony Blair.
Yeah. If so, just seeing the absolute state of the Tories now, can't in good mind call them Conservatives, really highlights the damage done. From lions, we have fallen to sheep, lambs. Yeah, Tom says, got handed a housing application today. The person applying is earning $1,500 a month on housing benefits, child benefits and disability benefits while not being in work. And I've got to pay my taxes. Grand and a half a month for not working.
Why am I here?
I don't know.
That's
self-respect.
Good, you know the word grift gets used a lot, like in politics, yeah, for people who just, you know, say things. But like, that's a grift. Like, that's an actual grift.
She's applying for a 5-bedroom house, being unemployed and getting a 5-bedroom house. I don't have a 5-bedroom house. I own a business. I work really hard.
I don't know what the background of that. Like, what have they done to get here? Like, are they just...
Well, she's applying for a 5-bedroom house, so two or more of her family members can come from abroad. For reference, I make less than her each...
Come on! What?
Working in a housing association is the biggest black pill there is, chaps. I believe it, man.
Yeah.
I believe it.
You know, you won't know, but there's a streamer called Tommy K who does like Hearts of Iron videos.
Yeah.
And he occasionally dabs into politics and his views. Everything is super Green Party, like bring down the speed limit, so emissions or anything minor. And as soon as he gets to immigration, he becomes AFD because he worked in the government during the crisis.
Right, right.
And he was in the fraud department. It was just like endlessly, you guys are taking the piss.
Well, they are. Yeah. This is just...
Any little thing.
I mean, he's like, for reference, I make less than her each month after tax. Like, dude. What you want to do, mate, is go over to France, get on a boat, and then sail over. You make loads very shortly. Paul says...
Hey, mate, I'm from Iran.
Yeah. Well, what are they going to do? Ask me for my ID? Yeah, exactly. I threw that in the fucking channel. Paul says the Conservatives are products of the same university system as the Progressives. They have had the same indoctrination. It's no wonder a massive Tory win changed nothing. You need to burn down the entire educational system and start over, metaphorically speaking, of course. JJHW says, David Cameron chose Liz Truss as a diversity hire, which I didn't know, but I can totally believe. The same Liz Truss who made threats against the Russians. The Russians responded by putting the nuclear forces on a hair trigger. We're now closer to global thermonuclear war and extinction than ever, all for diversity. But this is the point, isn't it? You're obviously reducing the quality of your candidates by having shortlists. It's end of story. M1 Ping, I'm a progressive. That's right, I'm a conservative. David Cameron, probably. No, certainly. Absolutely certainty. Free Will says, the Uni Party are all traitors who bamboozle their prospective voters with empty promises while taking their orders from the WEF. Which seems to be true. We have to stop voting for these people and somehow get others to stop voting for them by exposing the truth of what the Uni Party are doing to the wider public. At the same time, we have to support and build from the ground up an alternative. This is going to take a long time, but it's the only option. The WEF grip on the components of the Uni Party are too strong to change them from within. And to be honest with you, I think that's probably right. I don't think the Conservatives... I think Badenoch will just get, you know, manoeuvred out. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, she's great, and she's obviously very popular with the Conservatives as their base, and she seems to be quite popular with the MPs as well. But whatever the shadowy...
The
exactly. She'll get... It'll be Penny Morden or someone...
Rishi Sunak. It'll be one of those two,
most likely.
In which case, there'll be an offer, I imagine there already has been, that she'll get a cabinet position, and it'll either be...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere like, I don't know, defense or something like that, where she won't have any ability to actually do the great things on culture that only she can do and the rest of them can't, apparently.
Yeah.
Or she'll get put in some, you know, lower position and then it'll be argued again, or she doesn't have enough experience to be PM. Or some crap like that.
Something like that. But the point is, the internal mechanisms of the party will move in their mysterious and inscrutable way and suddenly. To screw her over. Yeah, exactly. Supreme Duck says, I used to think politicians were just incompetent, and that's why they happen to make everything worse every year. Now I think my previous understanding was an understatement. They might have even been doing it on purpose. Blair was doing it on purpose, and Cameron was like, yeah, he's got a good point. We are all white men. That's a problem. And so there we go. David Cameron, according to Longshanks, quite literally referred to himself in an unwise moment of candor as heir to Blair, while today George Osborne called him the master. Why? Why? I just can't stand it.
Because we've been called the nasty party, so let's try and be leftist.
Oh God, the communists are saying we're nasty. So from your perspective, yeah. It's not possible to overestimate the effect and thus the damage Blair's smiles and Alistair Campbell's ideas had on the Conservative Party. Yeah, no, totally captured. The Conservative Party had been crafted in Blair's image. They are everything that he wanted them to be. Anyway, JJHW says, you can always judge a man by the quality of his enemies, Oscar Wilde, in reference to Kemi Badenoch, which is very true. Nicholas says, Kemi would easily win my vote in a general election based on everything I've read so far, but something is telling me that we'll have Rishi to be our next PM going to election. I guess I'm back to voting Monster Raving Loony Party. Do you think it'll be Rishi or Mordant?
Who knows? But, well, Mordant's now the Wookiee's favourite. Rishi still has the most MPs. I mean, there is no real difference between those two from what I can see. Like, I don't actually know what they disagree on. I mean, Penny doesn't stand for anything.
No.
From her own words in her book.
But neither does Rishi.
I can't get over the... Like, if you run Penny, just pure politics for a moment, like, screw anything that's right. Like, you run Penny, it's a new face, you can make some bull about how she's different. But the Rishi one, I just can't... Like, he's the guy who fucked the economy, and so you're going to run him as the leader, and then people aren't going to remember that, hopefully. And also, he's so out of touch because of his money.
And he also seems so fake and plastic anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So this front of, I'm just going to be whatever you want me to be because I don't care about you at all.
But also, he's been in the public eye as part of the Johnson government. So, like, with Penny, no one knows who the hell she is.
And
so.
He's the guy who stabbed Johnson in the back. Not that I particularly care about Johnson, but, public traitor.
But what a large part of the rhetoric I'm seeing from these groups is just they say things like, oh, we need someone who's different from the old government because that's, too smeared now.
Yeah, I mean, he's absolutely continuity government.
But, like, you can't get away from that with that dude. Like, it's just pure politics. I just don't understand the reasoning to do those two candidates.
But even then, like, come the next general election, really, is Rishi Sunak the guy who's going to deliver an astounding Conservative victory, is he? It's Penny Mordaunt. Liz Truss.
I was watching the debate, and, a lot of people complain that, blue-on-blue violence in the party is bad because
it caused
ripples. It's like, no. I watched Andrea Leadsom listen to her in the car with John. She made a fantastic point, because when she ran against Theresa May, she says, there's a lot of smears in the media right now, the interviewer. She's like, isn't that horrible? She goes, no. Like, no, this is good. Like, you need to be raked over the coals in its entirety because you're not going to get a better time when you're running for PM. It's going to be even worse.
Yeah, look at how they treated Boris, for Christ's sake. And Boris was generally popular.
Exactly. So you really do have to go through hell, because if you want to play kid gloves when you're picking the new leader, you get creamed in the general election, then you can, enjoy the consequences, idiots.
Enjoy being like,
Andrea,
position. Yeah.
But I love how realistic she was.
Just no, that's great.
Yeah,
More blood.
Blood for the god, blood.
Bleach Demon says, Kemi comes across, it could just be a well-crafted narrative, as having a love of Britain and the British compared to the political cogs and the Tories running against her. I do fear, however, that if she becomes PM, like early in Trump's term, she'll be shackled by a cabinet of bigoted Blairistas who want deconstruction of Britain and its culture. Possibly, but I mean, she'll at least get to choose the cabinet. And she doesn't have to choose, like, MPs. You can choose whoever she likes. So, Kemi Badenoch with Tommy Robinson. Nigel Farage. Like, just saying it could be...
Oh, God. I mean, if you could be a one-term prime minister.
But just wouldn't that just be the funniest thing in the world?
But also, if you run the bills to Parliament, because really all you've got to do is from then get votes in Parliament, right? Yeah. And if you come up with a really funny bill, what are they going to do, vote against it? Like...
But she does seem to be the only person who's not terrible, which is great.
Minister for Islam. Imam Tawidi.
Longchamp says, there's a small part of me that hopes Kemi doesn't win, because then I'll have to be invested and hope she does well. If Rishi or Penny or Liz win, then it's just two of Klaus's puppets fighting each other and I get to sit back and laugh and point and laugh at the circus. But then there's a chance that the Conservative Party can actually be destroyed and we can replace it with something useful instead of crossing our fingers that each next leader won't be wearing a skin suit. The thing is, it's the British public's fault. It's like, I don't like the Conservatives. I'm going to vote Labour. It's like, whatever. Just.
Although I do have some good news. As I've said before, there's no real point getting too invested in this at this point. Because you don't get a vote. You're not an MP.
Yep.
So we just get the last two. Yeah. And then if you're a party member, you get a vote then. That's it.
Are you a party member?
Yeah. I told people, even if you don't believe it, join the party and then you can get a vote in leadership elections.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told this in every video I did about British politics. You can't say I wasn't forewarned.
Yeah. That's true. Generico says, remove the rots, root and branch. Kemi seems base now, but she's still a politician, and if the Dark Lord of Davos won't use her directly, he'll just use everyone around her and leave her impotent to change anything meaningful. What do you reckon? It's possible.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
As I say, someone's getting eliminated today, and then we'll see where the votes lie.
Yeah. Danny says, I'm reminded of George Carlin's line, if voting really mattered, they wouldn't let you do it. So we end up with two choices, with either being the same choice or one being bad, so you have to pick the other that they wanted anyway. If Kemi makes it through to the final two, I'd be amazed, and maybe there'd be a little bit of hope. I don't think she's going to make it through to the final two, which is a real shame. Anyway, Confused says, I saw a headline the other day, An Era of Western Dominance Ending by Tony Blair. As in, Tony Blair's like, yeah, so I've ruined the West, and it looks like we've lost. So get used to not being the dominant power on the Earth. It's like, thanks, Tony. At least you rubbed our noses in diversity.
So we'll all be holding hands, black, white, and in the concentration camps of China.
Yes, we'll literally be breaking rocks together in the Chinese gulags.
It's an old Frankie Boyle joke.
Is it?
Yeah. It was literally, I look forward to a multicultural future in which all of us standing side by side in Chinese concentration camps.
Literally when Frankie Boyle was based. Yeah. Look at that. Comrade Starmer says, these curriculums literally sound like the brainchild of certain gangs in Telford, Rotherham and Oldham. Talking about the wonderful curricula for the sex ed. It's just not wrong. Christine says, what do you think about Sean Head's video about the overuse of the word groomer like racist and Nazi? I haven't seen it. I think that she had a point since she pulled up quite a few examples of when defenders of a female predator who had sex 5 times in a day with an underage boy used groomer as a slur towards people who thought she did something wrong. I was like, I haven't seen that.
I haven't seen the video either. But no. That's why I say use it at the appropriate times.
I mean, she's obviously a groomer.
I mean, I've had, there are previous examples of when there's a thing on the right which gets overused. And
yeah.
It happens on the left.
I haven't seen that one. These defenders seem to be right-wing, but I don't know if it might have been a bit cherry-picking. Maybe. I haven't seen it. Maureen says, I dislike that groomer and other terms like it are used so much online as a common slur. It tends to reduce the gravity of the meaning. On the other hand, I don't know how else to describe what exactly most of these people are doing. And, I mean, I agree with you. You know, best to use it appropriately, obviously. But the fact that they took it so personally means it was an incisive ideological attack, and we shouldn't let up on that. You know, if it's effective, use it. Robert says, the word groomer is hate speech, but you should hate a groomer. So, Brandon says, Reddit, ban it, normal people. What groomers on your site? Reddit, no, criticism of groomers is banned. Yeah, good point. Chairman Powell says George may no longer be in charge of Reddit, but her censorious ideas remain. The groomer label really fit the alphabet perverts, and they are trying to do everything possible to wash it out. The censorship stage is an admission that they failed. That's a good point.
That's interesting. Yeah, we should really look at it that way.
Mm.
You know, when a right-winger says, I'm sorry for saying something based, and it's like, right, now it's onto the persecution. Sorry, the sentencing.
Yeah.
In the same way that, okay, well, they've started to censor us, so...
It's an admission.
They've admitted they've done something wrong. No, yeah. We want sensing.
It's an admission. They can't win the argument. Yeah. Colin says, life-changing surgery that makes the subject sterile. Promotion of homosexuality. Scaring a generation into not wanting to breed because of climate change. Not just allowing, but actively encouraging abortion. Call me a cynic, but I think I can see a pattern here. Yeah.
Right. Tweet about Orban. I don't know how if this is new policy or old policy, but apparently if you're a woman in Hungary now and you have 4 kids,
yeah, you're exempt from tax.
Income tax, never again.
Yeah. Man, I want that. I'll get the 4th kid.
But I just like, we can't have people aren't having enough children. What do we do? Import the entire world, or you know, do a policy like that? Well, you know, importing the entire world's easier, I presume.
I'd love to not have to pay tax. Radcheck,
I think it's only your wife that gets the tax break.
That's fine. She can own the business. Ratcheck was right. Says, how is groomer a slur? It's not a sexuality or race, it's an occupation, one that should be shamed. Sounds like people are getting nervous at the sounds of approaching wood chippers. Yes, that's exactly right. Anon says, by banning the term groomer, they have admitted it. Unfortunately, they know that we know that they don't care, and they have control over avenues of power. The new term floating around is predator. Yeah, I know, we use it. It's good. Rick says, the trans epidemic is sponsored by George Soros if you go back far enough up the money trail. Yes, but almost everything is if you go back far enough up the money trail. Mark my words, Soros is responsible for disrupting society and causing all the social issues we have to deal with, including Antifa, the trans activists, and the outright boldness of the pedos trying to join the alphabet people, making it difficult to deal with what would otherwise be the real issues, such as Bill Gates responsible for the upcoming famines and Fauci being responsible for the pandemic. Also, Klaus Schwab wants to eliminate the Earth's population down to a manageable 500 million by starvation and war. Just a note, I can't demonstrate any of those things. So just saying, this, This is his opinion, not mine. Isn't it strange that these people seem to be the literal four horsemen of the apocalypse? Things are going to get worse before they get better. That is correct. Chris says, I find the trans movement to be a little insulting to everyone else. Manhood is simultaneously my reality and my ideal. I was, along with everyone else, thrown into life. I didn't get a choice. According to the left, a man cannot speak on abortions unless he transitions and decides to have one. Trans is a superpower to these people. Which is a good point. I mean, like, even if you can't transition and then have an abortion. So, like, you know, trans women are women. So, okay, I'm a trans woman. Now I have an opinion on abortion. So yeah, but only women are allowed opinions on abortions. But I can't have an abortion and I don't know anything more about it than I did when I was a man.
This is so muddled that I don't know if you noticed that Vox was arguing for a man's right to abortion.
No, that's hilarious though.
Because of...
Does a man not have a right to an abortion?
Yeah, it was in response to Roe v. Wade and they were like, well, hang on, but trans men have a right to an abortion. So then men have rights to abortions too. So actually... Men, you should get on board with your right to abortions are being threatened. It's like,
there is an argument here. It's like, look, if you wanted to have like the sort of true enlightenment world, men would have rights to abortions. They just wouldn't ever need it.
And they'd also have the right to having babies.
Yeah, they just wouldn't ever need it.
Monty Python.
Yes. Kevin says, the only trade deal Pakistan would accept with the UK is if we sold them... man, I'm not... I'm
going to read that.
No,
I won't read that aloud. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I think they'd take that trade, but we're not doing it.
Henry said, I commission a statue of Tony Blair just so I can yeet it into a river. That's a good idea, actually. Brandon says, they're going to start digging for oil in the channel, but they have to dig through a giant layer of ID cards at the floor. Martin says, greetings from Flanders, Jordan.
What if we build a statue of Tony Blair in like the most ghetto area of the country? And then we just take pictures and the background is obviously hideous. Mm. And then like, there's your legacy.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is, yeah, that's not a bad idea. Greetings from Flanders, says Martin.
How much is a statue?
Jordan Peterson predicts that war in Ukraine would trigger another mass migration like the Arab Spring. By the way, do you think that something has changed about Peterson since he joined the Daily Wire? It would seem that he gets lots of criticism from Eastern European content creators and comments on YouTube about his video about the war, mostly about how he has misjudged the situation and gets facts wrong. Apparently the same goes for his message to Muslims. What do you think of Jordan Peterson joining the Daily Wire, Callum?
Seems like the right place for him. I don't know what else he was going to do with the rest of his life, but...
Well, I mean... be famous and successful.
I mean, he's doing that already, but then he had that like huge breakdown. I don't know what's going on in his life, so
no, but
I'm assuming it's the right choice because he made it and he knows more details there about his life.
Mm. He just seems angry at the moment though.
Yeah, I don't know how much of that is the drugs. He did seem to change after that. Did you see his message to Muslims?
I haven't watched it. I've seen he, what was it like?
To be honest, I kind of liked it in a weird way.
Go on.
Because, like, to us, it sounds a bit mad, you know.
Well, what was the message?
It's not a message for us. It's a message for Muslims.
Well, what was the message?
Hey, you should start building bridges with each other, Sunni and Shia, and maybe Jews and Christians too, may I dare. Because you know what the real problem is? Fucking leftists. It's just like, just like underlying it, it's just like, yeah, we're going to get the Muslims on side, we're going to form the Brotherhood, and just take down the leftists. It's like, yeah, communism is haram. How about that, guys?
It's a good point. But yeah. I think we're out of time there.
Yeah, I'm just looking up how to make custom statues to war.
I think we can do that later.
How much do you reckon it'll be? But anyway, just in the chat, if you'd help crowdfund for a statue in Rotherham, then we'll end on that note. So if you'd like more from us, go to lowsiers.com, of course. Otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.